Thank you very much, Mr. Wes Tuttle. That's very beautiful. Get us into a worship mode. Okay, let's first of all just talk about our prayers. Are we dripping water?
It's raining outside.
Yeah, I know it. Oh, okay. All right. I was wondering how did that much get? I don't know. Not quickly. All right. Okay. Let's talk about prayer. And I talked to Tish before class, and we need to just continue to be in prayer for Tish. We need to be in prayer for Edna. Edna is supposed to have the operation on Friday.
This Friday.
I mean Eve, not Edna, Eve. For Eve, and she's supposed to have the operation this Friday, and will be in the hospital for about 5 or 6 days. So when I learn more, I don't even know which hospital. Do you know what hospital?
Trinity.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Trinity? Where's Trinity?
Josie
and Hebron. Okay. Okay, so until we are no different, we'll be in prayer for Eve and for the surgery, the surgeon, and her speedy recovery. And so, my goodness, so we need to be in prayer for Eve. That's very important. Need to be in prayer for Nathan. He's developed an ear infection and strep throat. So those are not fun basic training. Those are not fun. And you don't want to complain, but neither one of those are good. So we need to be in prayer that God will touch his body and take care of that. I'm more concerned with the ear infection than I am with the strep throat. But so it's hard for him to get a lot of vitamins and herbs that I would recommend. So he's gonna have to tough it. And tell him to ask for extra orange juice in the morning. And you don't ask for extra anything in the Army. And so we need to be in prayer for Nathan. And need to be in prayer for Amber. Need to be in prayer for all of our young people. Need to be in prayer for my friend Mickey Bell, and Mickey needs our prayers. Need to be in prayer for Nancy Becker. I talked to her and Don today. They having trouble getting on the internet, and she's doing well. It's holding up. My personal prayer with her was that she wouldn't have any antagonism of it while up in the mountains in Colorado. So far she hasn't. So let's. She's doing okay in that respect, so it's still healing. So let's continue to be in prayer. They listen to every class and download almost immediately. And he calls, I couldn't download last night. I downloaded the night before Sundays, but not last night and all this. So
it's hard for the internet to get to Tim Colorado.
Yes, yes. Well, as a matter of fact, he had trouble downloading it at Tin Cup. And his computer said he couldn't do it, some kind of alert. So when they drove down to Gunnison, are you familiar with where Gunnison is? All right, drove down to Gunnison, and he was able to do it there. He was able to download it. Yeah, yeah. And it's the first major community that he can drive down to. And he was able to do it there once he pulled into a place that he could get it off the site. And so he was able to download there. And so he has to go down there. And he was down there today to download last night, and it wouldn't do it. So, but we found out there was some kind of problem. Is that right, Jim?
Yeah, the computer was off.
That makes it hard. Yeah, that makes it hard. And I tell you, it's amazing. It's amazing what we can do with computers. I'm in Tucson, Arizona, and John and I waited until the last hour to get everything ready for the PowerPoint presentation, and for some reason it was not on my computer, my laptop, and so I thought, okay, let me think. So I called Steve, and I had Steve, I asked Steve, and he was so nice to do it, go immediately to my house, he has a key to my house, and turn my computer on. So he did that, and then Tyson has access to my computer. So I called Tyson and asked him to go in and email me, send to me in Tucson, that file. And we got it all done, and I was at church by 7. And all that happened after 6 o'clock, Tucson time. And that's just amazing. I mean, that is just amazing. Wow. What we can do today. But boy, when they go down, it's terrible. Oh, wow. And John was telling me today, John Hintz was telling me today, that they now have, and Iran has it, something you can, I'm going to put it, we'll use the word explode above it, and it shuts down all computers. Shuts down all computers underneath this thing. Huh?
A radiation bomb.
Is that the radiation bomb?
EMP.
And it shuts off all computers. Everything. Car computers, everything. They're just shut down. And I said, well, that was very nice of you to tell me that, and I just appreciate that. You're supposed to give the good news of the gospel. And but the computers are quite a thing.
Is this something they're claiming, Herman, or they actually have?
They say they have. they say they have. So I don't know. I didn't know. I know nothing more than what I've just told you, that Iran, the president of Iran, and I do know that he has said that the world would be better off if America wasn't here. And I do know he said that.
and
Israel, yes. So he blames America and a couple other powers, countries, for all the troubles of the world. And okay, yes.
I have a prayer
thing. Good. Oh, I love those. Jennifer.
Just horrible. And so she was born just the other day. And so they gave her a day to stabilize, and then they took her immediately into surgery. And they have done all the surgery on that little bee heart that is no bigger than a quarter.
Yeah.
You know, it's no bigger. I mean, they've gone in there and they put shunts and stents. Transpose the arteries, you know, and they've done all these things, and that baby is doing so well.
Wow.
She'll go home. I mean, she's doing so well. She'll go home in a week.
It's just amazing what they can do today. Wow.
And they are just so thankful. They're Christian.
Well, that's something to be thankful for. Wow.
Yes.
Wow, my goodness. That is really good. Okay. Yes. Vic himself has pneumonia? Okay.
And also his son-in-law is back in the hospital up here in Plano.
The one that was in here before?
Has an infection. And
does it relate to the operation surgery? Okay.
I guess he must have got it at the hospital.
He's at Plano?
Yeah, I'd like to talk to you about that after.
Okay. All right.
We need to pray for him.
So we need to be in prayer for Vic Edwards, who has pneumonia, and this is serious because Vic's not all that healthy. He's not all that old, but he's not all that healthy. So he's got diabetes.
He's diabetes,
yeah. And so we need to be in prayer for Vic and then Vic's son-in-law,
Wes.
So we need to be in prayer for him. My goodness. And yes.
Also, I say
safe trip for Jim and Mel.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
And we're going on a week's vacation Sunday morning.
To Missouri?
Florida.
Florida? Well, excuse me. Oh.
But pray for us because we're going to be with Jay and Lori and then the kids.
Oh, my God. You're ridiculous.
No.
Oh. Okay. All right. Oh.
Too far.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll be in prayer for a safe trip. My goodness.
Insanity.
Yeah. It'll be good.
But you will put the Jay and Laurie in the
kids. Yes, yes.
All five of them.
All seven of them.
Yeah, all seven.
And they all said we might stop off in Terrell on the way back. And prayer for Jim Schultz.
Yeah.
Difficulty
yeah. My goodness. You're a brave soul. All right, we'll be in prayer.
We're going to test the Holy Spirit.
All right. Now, will you be running these next Tuesday? Okay, good. So we got that covered and everything covered. Okay, so we're in good shape. All right. So, okay, let's begin with prayer. And what we're going to do is finish our study on spiritual love as a requirement, love for Jesus Christ, for the greater works, and next week we will begin the foundation of all of the accomplishments of the greater works, and that is the sending of the Holy Spirit. But let's tonight prepare ourselves for for our study. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the scriptures that reveal, inform us. Last night, Father, we saw how much we're informed in regard to the certainty of standing before the judgment seat of Christ, something that every one of us will be involved in. It will happen. And tonight, Heavenly Father, we are given privy to the upper room and with the understanding of the greater works that we're to do throughout the church age. There's just so much in Scripture, Father, for us to grasp. And we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. The flesh cannot comprehend these things. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we're in the greater works, doing the works greater than Jesus Christ. And we've noted that we've tagged this as bringing Gentiles into the spiritual kingdom of God. Now, I want to talk a moment on why is this greater. This is a confusing passage to a lot of people. And a lot of people just say greater, and they try to slough it off by saying, well, we bring more into Christ because there's more of us, more in number than what he did. But the Greek word does not lend itself to that. And so we want to find out why this is greater. Not only because of the redemption of the Gentiles people, because Gentiles have always been redeemed, even in the Old Testament. But added to that, now, I don't want to minimize that because Christ came for the Jews. And so the greater work is extending this to the Gentile world. But secondly, and this is because the Jews, with the Jews, God is demonstrating his love, not only for the Gentiles in this greater works, but for the Jews. So, why is love important? Because God is demonstrating his love to the Jews through the Gentiles. The Jews are God's chosen people, as far as a race of people on earth. They rejected the Messiah, we know this, sent by God. Out of his love, Jesus Christ came to the Jews first. And so God is now, and they rejected him. So now God is using Gentiles to demonstrate his love to the Jews. I want to talk about that just for a moment. The Jews learn by watching what God is doing among the Gentiles. Jews watch and learn, the Hebrew people watch and learn what God is doing among Gentiles. Jews are learning by watching God save and bring Gentiles into the kingdom, and not by the law at all. And to grasp this point, remember that the Jews were extremely racial. Probably the most racial people on earth are unregenerate, not spirit-filled, believing Jews. And it's not just a race against maybe another, it's against all Gentiles. Gentiles, if you're not a Jew, you're a dog. It's not just like white against black, but not against the Chinese or the Reds or this type of thing. No, this is against all people that are not Jews. They're dogs. Gentiles are dogs. And here is God, the God of the Jews, saving these Gentile dogs, bringing them into the spiritual kingdom by nothing more than their faith. Jews tried to be saved by the law. They work hard at it, and therefore rejected the one Son of God, Jesus Christ. They preferred to be saved by their performance, obeying the law. Jews do not understand the grace of God. They do not understand the love of God. So they turn to the law to do and do, and performance. So what God is doing? God is trying to demonstrate to this mass of people, the Jewish people, His love and His grace for them. Here are these Gentile dogs being saved, brought into the kingdom by faith alone, and by these Gentiles coming into the spiritual kingdom by grace through faith, hopefully the Jews will learn and see the simplicity is even for them. Now, with this in mind, please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. It'll be a few months before we get to this on Sunday morning in our study of Romans. So, well, a few months of the year of 2010. All right. Romans chapter 9. And let's begin reading. Now, this is dealing with Paul's attitude in regard to the Jewish people. His concern, he was sent to Gentiles, Paul was. But he has a great concern for the Jews. And in verse 1, I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accused, separated from Christ, for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul is half Jew, half Gentile. Who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons, the glory and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the temple service, and the promises, whose are the fathers, from whom is the Christ according to the flesh, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. So he has a great concern for the Jewish people. Now, in chapter 9, and chapter 9 and 10 deal with this, with the Jews aspect of this. Let's look at verse 23. Chapter 9, 23. I just want you to see the flow of this chapter. Now, verse 23. And he did so in order that he might make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. Even so, or even us, whom he also called, not from among the Jews only, but from among the Gentiles. As he says also in Hosea, I will call those who were not my people, my people. Okay, these are Gentiles. I'll call those who are not my people, not Jewish, my people. And her who was not beloved, beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it was said to them, "You are not my people. There they shall be called sons of the living God." Now verse 27. Isaiah cries out concerning Israel. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is two prophets. First Hosea in verse 25, and now Isaiah. Quoting of the prophets is very important in Paul's arguments to the Jews, because they hold these Old Testament prophets in high esteem. See, and that's why he quotes them when he's talking to the Jews. He doesn't do that a whole lot when he's talking to Gentiles, but when he's talking to the Jews, he takes them back to the Old Testament prophets. And this is the principle that is seen over and over in the writing to the Jews when they were in rebellion against God in Jeremiah. So that'll come up. And so this is what he's doing. And so Isaiah cries out concerning Israel. So he's quoted Hosea and Isaiah. "Therefore, though the number of the Israelites be like the sand by the sea, only the remnant will be saved." Verse 28. "Or the Lord will carry out his sentence on earth with speed and finality. It is just as Isaiah said previously, unless the Lord Almighty had left us descendants, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah," that is, condemned due to their rebellion and wiped out. So the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah are no more. But he did not do that to the Jews. And that's why I've told you before, every time we see a Jew today, and no matter what circumstances you see the Jew, you see God's faithfulness. You're just seeing God's faithfulness. I was talking to someone the other day. I just think, if I were an unbeliever, and had enough and was looking through things and just saw how this one little spot in all the world in the East, Middle East, called Jerusalem, has always been a spot of issue. It hasn't got oil. It doesn't have gold. And yet it's always been a great issue. And these people have been an issue. Now, I couldn't ignore that. I couldn't ignore it. I mean, you think about places in Europe, places in America, places in Africa, places in China. And yet, this is the place, through history, that has caused so much tension. Now, verse 30. "What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness," that is, pursued by the law, "attained righteousness, even the righteousness," or you could say that is the righteousness, "which is by faith. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law." Verse 32. Why not? Why not? Why didn't they arrive at it? "Because they," the Jews, "did not pursue it," righteousness, "by faith, like those dog Gentiles did, but as though it," righteousness, "were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone." And what's the stumbling stone? What's the stumbling stone? Christ Jesus. They just stumbled over him. They rejected him. Warrior like they wanted. And free them from Rome and make them the rulers of the world. He didn't do that. He came in on a jackass. Humbly. And died on a cross. So that didn't impress them. So they stumbled over him. That's why it's so... If we had married young people, single young people classes and stuff, just to be careful of having some image, preconceived, all the image of what you want to marry. And you might stumble over what God has brought you. And it's just so important. Verse 33. as it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. Jesus Christ is called our rock in the Old Testament. These words are very important in the Old Testament. And the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame, never stumble so as to be put to shame. 10 verse 1, chapter 10 verse 1, brethren, believers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved for their salvation. They may be saved. God is using the redemption of these lower people, Gentiles, to woo back the Jews. God is so full of love and mercy and grace and compassion. He just keeps wanting to woo us back. Sometimes I think communion is like that. Communion is just wooing us back to faith. Just calm down now and remember how you were saved, the bread, how you're going to live, the cup, and it's going to be by faith. And He's just wooing us back. If we got off balance since the last time we had communion, whatever time that would be in any given church. Okay. So, brothers, my heart's desire is for prayer to the God for the Israelites is that they may be saved for their salvation. So God is using Gentiles to woo back the Jews. And this is where you and I come in. This is part of the greater works. This is doing the greater works. This is what bringing this lower creature, Gentiles, into the spiritual kingdom. And when the Jews see this, if they're thinking, they'll learn of God's grace and come to Him by faith. You mean, wait a minute, if that dog can do it by faith, can I? And you say, of course, that's all I've always wanted. That's all I've always wanted. Now let's continue in chapter 10, verse 2. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. And so many people are impressed with their zeal for God, even in the church age. But not in accordance with knowledge, with truth. For not knowing about God's righteousness. Now they know all about righteousness of the law. They don't know about God's righteousness. And seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on the law shall live by that righteousness. In other words, it's not a righteousness that God gives. Then in verses 6 and following, the righteousness that comes by faith and faith alone. But let's just note, jump down to verse 16. Come down to verse 16 in chapter 10. However, they did not heed the glad tidings, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Anybody know where this comes from? Isaiah what? It's a very famous chapter. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, the great chapter on the dealing with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And it's just a powerful passage. Okay, verse 17 is the gospel. So, faith comes from hearing the gospel and hearing by the word of Christ. This is the gospel. The gospel. Verse 18, but I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed, they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the earth. Verse 19, again I say, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous by those who are not a nation, Gentiles. I will make you jealous. Takes us to the greater works. by a nation that has no understanding, will I, God, anger you? Okay, this is the nation without understanding. Who is that? It's the Gentiles. And by saving the Gentiles, bringing those dogs, those lower than Jews, into his kingdom, the Jews will be angry and jealous, and hopefully they'll return to the Lord and come to faith instead of by law. The Jews learn from observing Gentiles. Jews learn about how the Gentiles are brought in, and it makes them angry and all. But hopefully it will go into, wait a minute, this can happen for me. Then verse 20, and Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. The Jews are all, they're always seeking and all this stuff. You're Gentiles who did not go to the law to find reconciliation. Verse 21. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands. This is the love of God. This is a beautiful picture of God to me. I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Now, disobedient. Disobedient. What was their disobedience? Faith. They would not receive it by faith. That is their disobedience. They wanted to work for it. Let me just read to you. You can turn to it real quickly. I'm just doing it. But I want to read to you Hebrews chapter 3 very quickly. Hebrews chapter 3 and just two verses. Verse 12 of Hebrews 3. It says, take care, brethren, lest there should be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. And then verse 19, and so we see that they, the Exodus generation, were those in the wilderness journey, those that they were not able to enter, that is to enter into the promised land, but enter into the rest of salvation. Why? Because of unbelief. Refusal to trust him. And I'll tell you what, I think unbelief and rejection of truth is getting stronger and stronger in America. I think it's getting stronger from unbelievers to just accept the gospel of simple faith in Christ and faith alone and Christ alone, and especially among believers to walk by faith. It's just amazing how obstinate people are and don't want to just do it by faith. So God has been wooing the Jews back by their observing the grace and salvation of Gentiles. The same salvation that was offered to the Jews, offered now to Gentiles, and Gentiles are taking advantage of it. Gentiles are accepting Christ and receiving this righteousness. So this pattern has been set in a call to the Jews. Now, this is something that God has done. This is something God does a lot. We've noted this years ago, but we hadn't dealt with it a long time. God often uses the lower to teach the higher. He's often done this. For an example, God uses man to teach who? Angels. Teach angels. This is powerful. Angels learn by watching us. Angels learn. Then he uses, and just have to bear with it, ladies, he uses the woman to teach the obstinate male. He uses Gentiles to teach the Jews. And then it really gets so bad that he uses animals to teach mankind. When we're really bad, just come down and uses animals to teach us. And there's examples of all of these through the scriptures. Angels learn by watching and observing God. Angels learn from observing the Jews. Jews learn from observing Gentiles. The higher learns from the lower. Because the higher gets arrogant. Gets very arrogant. Obstinate. And therefore has to be trained. And the best place to do it is to humble them by having them learn from the lower. And after the higher rebels against God, rejects his reconciliation process by faith through grace. Okay, boom. Then he learns it from the lower. So every time you give the gospel to a Gentile, and the Gentile responds, Jews learn. Jews learn about the grace of God. In fact, I think they learn even if the Gentile doesn't believe. And this is the greater works, people. The greater works is to bring the Gentiles into the kingdom, but the greater works is also revealing and demonstrating God's love to Jews. That this is all they have to do. So this is a powerful concept of the greater works, because it's greater that we bring the Gentiles in, it's great, and that it teaches these Jews, demonstrates to them the love of God. So every time you hear someone preaching or teaching or speaking works, where man must do something for his salvation, you're hearing hypocrisy and heresy. And this is just another reason, though, why it is so evil, why false teachers are so evil, why the whole book of Jude is about the false teachers. Why? Because Jews are to learn from us. They can't learn if we're teaching a false gospel. They won't learn about his grace. They won't learn about his love. Not only is the person that we're giving the gospel to not getting the straight scoop and the grace message and the call of his love, Jews are not getting it either. Jews watch and observe how Gentiles are saved by grace through faith, and how they are trying to be saved by the law. And they will be drawn to God's grace and God's love and God's mercy. So, but if we teach a false gospel, then the person's not saved, and Jews do not learn. That's why it's so horrible. And these are just two things that are bad about giving a false gospel. But both of them are predominant in history. One, the unbeliever is not going to be saved by the false gospel. And two, Jews are not going to be drawn to the false gospel. So, how are they saved without the law? How can we be saved without the law? If you take away the law, how? By grace through faith. By grace through faith. No, look at all these Gentiles. So, it's a call to them. So it is so vital that we correctly understand salvation, correctly understand the Spirit-filled life, and all that God is doing, so that the Jews will learn about God's grace. People, we have to appreciate the fact that God has a love for them that's unique. It's unique. They're His people. And this whole thing of the greater works, we talk about bringing Gentiles in, but it's to affect the Jews too. And we have to appreciate what God is doing. And it's kind of like, I tell some people sometimes, it's kind of like in dealing with Satan. I don't know why God's doing all that he's doing in regard to Satan. I just encourage you, don't damn Satan. Don't fight Satan. Don't get it. Just leave him alone. There's something between God and that creature Lucifer who fell, between God and Satan. And I don't understand it. Don't want to understand it. Don't need to. Just leave it alone. There's something about God and the Jews. They're His people over and over and over. So we leave them alone. And they're always an issue in history. Part of the Abrahamic covenant that we know is so important is that those who protect them will be blessed by God. And as we move darker and darker away from the biblical truth that the founders of this country don't really care about Israel, all these things, we're going to move further and further away from His blessings. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe this politically. And these things are just so vital that we understand them in history. Many are in heresy and false teaching as to the gospel and how to be saved. And this is so damaging for these reasons. Number one, person's not going to be saved, but Jews are not going to be beckoned in. But it is important that we correctly understand the truth of the gospel for both the unbeliever and the believer. And for the Jews are watching and learning, angels are watching. Angels. Not just the Jews now, but angels. Look with me at Hebrews 3, please. Hebrews 3. I'm showing you, I want to take this into the whole broad scope of the spiritual warfare that we're in, people. I want to show you these things. Ephesians 3:10. Ephesians, what did I say? No, Ephesians, I'm sorry. Ephesians, Paul's book to the Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. This is so powerful. It's one of those little verses hidden in there that's vital to our life and to our understanding day in and day out. His, God's, intent was that now. Ephesians 3:10. Let's see here. Yeah. Okay. I typed it up from a different translation on my computer. All right. Let's just read. That's the right passage. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. To whom? To the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, that is to angels. So people, he's using the church to teach angels about his grace, about his mercy, and about his love. And he's using the church to do this. So we're here to teach angels, to demonstrate to angels the wisdom of God. And in Corinthians, the wisdom of God is what? Foolishness to man. That anyone can be saved by simple faith, be spiritual by simple faith. That's foolishness to man. Foolishness. God, it's wisdom. And the church is used to demonstrate that. So this is a powerful thing that you have to know in our life. We're here to demonstrate to angels. We're here to demonstrate to the Jews. That's why it's so imperative. That's why it's so imperative that we understand the truth of the gospel. God, it's just amazing how throughout church history it has been so changed. So changed. Okay, five conditions of doing the greater works of the spiritual kingdom. And here we have Jews learning from Gentiles, higher creatures learning from the lower, and learning by the truth of the gospel. So we have faith. Everything for the believer starts with faith. Departure of Jesus Christ. He had to depart from planet Earth to God the Father for glory. Prayer, and love, spiritual love. Love for Him. Not love for the people out here at this point. Love for Him. Because this was what He loved. And now we come to the next and final one. And that is, let's look at John 14. John 14. John 14 and verse 16. John 14, 16. By the way, one other thing, very quickly, how important the love is that we're talking about, and that spiritual love has got it. We saw last night, and you just can't imagine how important faith is, but we can't imagine how important spiritual love is to our life. It's important in regard to the judgment seat of Christ. We saw this last night in 2 Timothy 4:8. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, but not only to me, but also to all who love His appearing. So spiritual love is related people to our doing the greater works. It's related to our lives in dealing with the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And it's related to our lives in loving one another, that all will know that we belong to Him. So this is so vital. But next week we will begin with the final condition, verse 16. And I will ask the Father. Okay, you got to see the relationship. If you love me, you keep my commandments. How am I going to do that? How am I going to love? How am I going to keep your commandments? We have a particle that ties together 15 and 16. Translated, and. We'll look at it next week. And I will ask the Father. He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. I, Jesus Christ, as your Savior and Shepherd, will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And that's going to be through the Holy Spirit. So we have a lot to cover as another helper. And we want to look at some things that are going on in the text that precedes this, as it patterns this, and the Old Testament, and what all is going on in this passage. So I want to mark it down. I want this documented. I want all of you to sign it. I'm letting you out early, so you now owe me some minutes here. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, more and more we learn it's not about us. It's just not about us. It's about angels. It's about the Jews. It's just not about us. This is why we must move to that point of, I must decrease. I must decrease in all issues, in all importance. Not make a big deal of what I am, who I am, what I do, what I don't do, what I have, what I don't have. And He increase. That it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So difficult, for the flesh constantly is fighting to be in control, be in the front guard. The more we search out the Scriptures and allow your Spirit to open up things, it's just not about us. And yet we can have peace and joy and happiness right here on earth. Rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. So many wonderful things. If we can just grasp that it's not about us. Pray, Father, you take the things we've seen tonight. Let them settle in our souls and bear fruit inside of us that will be manifested in our lives. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.